dealing with the subject of the need for the hedge tonight. The need for the hedge. When you hear the word hedge, what do you think of? Most people think of a hedge made of plants or bushes that maybe are a hedge alongside of a property. You may have a set of hedge clippers somewhere, or recently I got a pair of battery-operated bush trimmers that, you know, can cut up my bushes when they get frazzled and grow out. But bushes and hedges are there to protect something. The word hedge in the Bible describes something more substantial, though, than just a bush. It really is speaking of a wall. A hedge was a defensive wall often built around a city. Years ago, we were in Germany in Rothenburg, and the city is a walled city. And so that wall protects the city. The bottom part might be comprised of stones and some packed dirt, but they build and they build a wall around the city to protect the city. A hedge in biblical times was often a border of thorny bushes around a garden or a vineyard to protect it from outside invaders. And so when I plant my garden, I have a chicken wire fence that I put around my garden to keep the rabbits out and anything out that would eat my crops so that they'll grow. It's a form of a hedge. If you turn your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter number 12, the Bible gives us this concept as we look at the terminology of the hedge tonight. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 1, and Jesus is speaking in the form of a parable here. He's using an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but he definitely gives us the concept of the hedge here in Mark chapter 12. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and did what? He set an hedge about it, digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. But first, after he planted the vineyard, he set a hedge about it in order to protect it, in order to protect what he valued. Tonight is another message that ties in with our theme for the year, forsaking the seen and focusing on the unseen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6 as I kind of lay the foundation for what I'm going to preach on tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're dealing with Israel. We're dealing with Syria. We're dealing with the king of Syria getting ready to attack the king of Israel. And we're dealing with the prophet Elisha and his servant. And Elisha knows from the Lord that this is going to happen. So he tells the king of Israel, hey, the king of Assyria is going to attack you. In the midst of all that going on, the king of Syria is sending horses and sending military, so to speak, to attack, to ambush Israel. And we pick up that story in verse number 15 of 2 Kings 6. The Bible says, and when the servant of the man of God, so this is the servant of Elisha now, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. There were things that the servant of Elisha saw. He saw all kinds of horses and chariots of the enemy. And his servant said unto him, or said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, we are outnumbered. We are in deep trouble. And he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, the servant's eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What was there that was unseen to the servant? A hedge about Elisha that was put there by God. Now, what the servant saw was the enemy's horses and all that the enemy had in place to attack Israel, to attack the prophet. And that's all the servant could see. But Elisha knew about the hedge. And he prayed and he said, Lord, open the servant's eyes that he could see what I know is there protecting us. And Elisha spoke confidently. The servant, what in the world are we going to do? And Elisha said, there are more with us than that are against us. And God opened the eyes of the servant to see the unseen. And you know what he saw? He saw a hedge. He saw a hedge. I want you to understand tonight that every one of us are in need of God's hedges in our personal lives, in the lives of our family, in the life of our church, and in the life of our nation. All of us are in need of hedges. What should motivate us, preacher, to pray for God's hedge of protection in our lives, in the lives that we love, in the church that we love, in the nation that we love? Number one, the need for the hedge is revealed in the purposes of the enemy. I don't know that we think in realistic terms enough about the goals of our enemy. But the goals of our enemy in 1 Peter chapter 5 is your adversary, personalize it tonight, the adversary of your home, the adversary of your church, the adversary of your nation, the adversary of your soul, your adversary tonight, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not passive. Neither is he content with what he's already gained and the lives that he's already taken. He wants to devour. My friend, that ought to put us all on high alert tonight to understand that every one of us needs a hedge from God. The same enemy that wants to devour also wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy, according to John 10:10. For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We also know in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's battle, there's spiritual warfare, and it's going on and it's constant. It's constant in our nation today, in the high levels of our politics. It's constant. We are wrestling against spiritual principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. We know that he sends fiery darts that are meant to ignite my flesh and meant to ignite the lust of my eyes and the pride of life and the lust of my flesh. He's sending those fiery darts. He's aiming those fiery darts at my heart and at your heart and at your family's heart and at our church. All that's real. You may not see it, but it's real. The purposes of the enemy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He wants to overreach. He wants to take control. He wants to destroy testimonies in this church. He wants to destroy families and marriages in this church. He does. He does. His goal is that. His target is that. The bullseye is that tonight, if I could say it that way, of the enemy. He lays snares, traps to catch us. And when we're caught in a snare, the Bible gives the indication that the snare can be so demanding, it can be so controlling, that we are taken captive by him at his will, and it calls it the snare of the devil. Parents, tonight, you need to understand. The enemy has snares set for your kids, and by the way, for my kids too. He has snares set. He catches our kids in a trap, and that has the potential to take them captive at his will whenever he wants them. Like that. I don't know that we always think about the enemy and the purposes and the design and the attacks of the enemy. But tonight, it should motivate all of us to understand that we need hedges And we should pray for hedges in our personal lives, in our family lives, in our church life, in our nation's life. First hedge I want you to look at is the hedge of divine protection. The hedge of divine protection. Job chapter 1, our text, verse number 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I want you to get this tonight. God defends and protects his own. Praise God for that truth. The Bible comfort and truth is presented here about Job, and Satan knows that God's defense is impenetrable. Or in other words, Satan couldn't break through it. God, I'd like to touch Job, but you won't let me. God, I'd like to touch his house, but you won't let me. God, I'd like to touch all that he hath, but Lord, you won't let me. You put a hedge around him. Thank the Lord that his protection is better than the Patriot missiles in the Iraqi war. When he protects, nobody's going to break through that protection. Thank God he gives a divine hedge. Can I encourage you to pray for a hedge of protection around those that you love? Those that you love. You ought to be praying hedges of protection. Parents and grandparents should be praying for hedges of protection around your children and around your grandchildren. That's not an unbiblical prayer. Husbands and wives, you ought to pray for one another that you'll stay faithful to each other. A hedge about your marriage, that nothing would get in either one of your hearts that would corrupt that marriage or cause there to be a foundation crack in that marriage or where trust would be violated. But God, dear God, put a hedge of protection about our marriage, about our children, about our grandchildren. Would you just assume tonight that there is spiritual, fiery darts and wiles aimed at you, at your marriage, at your children, at your family, at the ones that you love? Could you just assume tonight, just bank on it, that the enemy is after all that? And because of that, you ought to be praying, we ought to be praying for hedges. Hedges about our family. The hedge of divine protection. It's interesting that the passage on spiritual warfare ends with praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You might pray something like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my son, my daughter, my wife, my parents, my nephews and nieces, God. Would you put a hedge about them? God, would you put a hedge around their thought life? That, Lord, they wouldn't buy into imaginations. God, would you put a hedge about their decision making? Lord, that they would not make emotional decisions that they would come to regret later in life. Listen, folks, so many people make emotional decisions. And man, if they could look back on it, oh boy, I wish I didn't do that. Lord, would you put a hedge about their decision making? God, would you put a hedge, Lord, around, Lord, their attitudes and their spirit, Lord, that they would not get depressed in spirit and not, Lord, let anxieties overtake them. God, would you put a hedge around their habits? Listen, folks, we need hedges. In times of spiritual warfare, if I could put it this way, I want you to understand that darts are coming this direction, and darts are coming this direction, and darts are coming this direction, and this direction, and they're coming from every direction. And what protects us in those times? I'll tell you what protects us. It's the hedge that protects us. Psalmist wrote, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Who are these hedges for, preacher? Number one, they are for God's servants. Job chapter 1, look at verse number 8. Go back to Job chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered... What's the next phrase? my servant Job. But there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Question, why would Satan want to attack somebody that is not serving God? Don't need to. They're not impacting anybody. Why would Satan have to spend any time on a family that could care less about serving God? He's not going to waste his time there. You know who he's going to go after? Servants of God. God says, I'll take my hedge and put my hedge around the servant. You want the hedges of God in your life? You keep your eyes on serving God. You keep your heart in a place, I'm going to serve God with my life. Hedges are given to God's servants. Number two, hedges often can't be seen by us, but they can be seen by Satan. Job couldn't see the hedge. He couldn't visually see that God had put something around him and his house and all that he had on every side. That's the wording of the Scripture. On every side. God, when he puts a hedge up, he doesn't leave a breach. He had protected Job and he had protected him on every side. Job couldn't see that, but Satan could see that. Satan said, I can't touch him, God, because you got a hedge about him. There are many things that exist in the spirit world today that are invisible to our eyes. But may I say this, it doesn't mean that they aren't real. There's a lot of real things going on in the spirit world. Now, you ought not to play with the spirit world. Let me just encourage you tonight. By the way, some folks are getting into treatments, New Age kind of treatments, that are messing with the spirit world. Can I warn you, as a pastor that loves you, it'll mess you up. You play with the devil's territory, and I want you to know he'll take a mile from you, not just a yard. Stay away from that stuff. You've got to be careful. Some of you are into natural treatments. Not all natural treatments are bad, but be discerning. Be discerning. There's some bad stuff out there. And I would just warn you of that tonight. But the spirit world is real. The hedge spoken of in Job 1 is not a hedge that constrained Job, but it is one that protected him and all that he had. It is wonderful insight to realize that God can provide a spiritual barrier around his servants to protect them from spiritual attacks. Third thing about divine protection, hedges often can't be seen by us, but they're seen by Satan. They're for his servants. And thirdly, everyone needs God's hedge. When God removed the hedge for Job, did anything change in Job's life? A whole lot changed. And it changed in the matter of days. Because God just said, okay, you can test my servant. And he removed the hedge. Our nation needs God's hedge of protection. Can you imagine the enemies of America today? Can you imagine all the scheming and plotting and the technology and everything that is at the disposal of nations around the world that cannot stand America? I don't know if you ever thought of that before. We're not liked everywhere. We need a hedge. We need a hedge of protection around our nation. Since our nation's birth, it's obvious God's hand of blessing and God's hedge has been up. It's because people who feared God and acknowledged God prayed for their nation. Would you pray? Do you love America enough tonight to pray for God's hedge? Can God protect America? Oh, yeah. If Jesus is going to come to destroy all the nations of the earth at the Battle of Armageddon, God can protect America. Right? Would you pray for a hedge for your church? Do you love it? I do. Do you think that the enemy has purposes that are all lined out, blueprints, to destroy it? I do. I've watched it from afar in other churches. Is it worth praying for a hedge? I think so. About your family. Job was the kind of father who prayed for a hedge of protection around his children. Look at verse 5 of Job chapter 1. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Living in a different stage of life where my kids are not around me all the time. As a dad that has your children in your home, you can protect. At least you work to protect. But when they're outside your home, guess what? You feel a little insecure that you don't have the protection in your hands. Oh, but what can you pray, parent? A hedge. A hedge. There's the hedge of divine protection. Secondly, there's the hedge of biblical authorities. There's the hedge of biblical authorities. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 8. The need for the hedge. We need the hedge of divine protection. We ought to pray for that hedge. We also need the hedge of divine or biblical authorities. Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge. Breaketh? What happens to that person that breaks the hedge? The serpent biteth him. Now, anytime I hear of a serpent bite, it's never good news. I never go, oh, that was probably good for that person. No, when I think of serpent, I think of poison. And I think of injury, and I think of a life that's threatened from a poisonous bite. The Bible indicates here that there are hedges in our lives. They're boundaries. They're for our protection. And when we break them, the serpent is on the other side. And he's ready to go. If you can think of that king cobra bringing his head up like this. And I want you to understand that the enemy is right outside the hedge. And he's right there like that. He's ready to strike. But the hedges, the boundaries, watch this, the biblical authorities in our lives, they protect us. They protect us. God gives the hedge of the home. The hedge of the home has some things built into it that are going to help protect children. One of them is training. Parents, if you give yourself to that, it'll be a hedge in your children's lives. And if you don't give yourself to it, you're not giving your children the hedge that God desires for them to have. Well, I just think they ought to make their own decisions, you know. I just think the way that I grew up, I kind of had to learn the hard way. That doesn't align with Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Sorry, that philosophy ought to be thrown out the window. Bible says train. Train is a hedge. Young parents, parents of young children, listen to me. You have to train on purpose. You have to plan to train. Here's what we're going to train on. We're going to train on character qualities. We're going to train on manners. We're going to train on salvation. We're going to train on purity. We're going to train on serving God. We're going to train on church first on Sundays, above all else. Church. We're in church. We're going to train that. And young people on the other side, if you've been trained, you've received some training, whether it's been by parents or it's been in your church or it's been in a Sunday school class or youth teen time or camp, and you break the training, you throw it out. You say, I'll break that hedge. The serpent's ready. He's ready to strike. He'll come after you. There's training. The home, the hedge of the home has training to it. The hedge of the home has love to it. The hedge of the home has discipline to it. Why are all those things talked about in the Scripture? Because you know what? It's a wonderful hedge of protection. It's a divine plan that God would use the home as a hedge. Be careful about throwing out what mom and dad have taught you. And mom and dad, by all means, make sure that love, make sure that training, make sure that discipline are a part of your home. Those are important things. They're going to protect your children. They're going to help your children down the road. Much more than I could say on the hedge of the home. But there's the hedge of the church. There's the hedge of the church. The church is a hedge of doctrine. A church that is teaching, a church that is training, a church that is set on getting and passing on correct and pure doctrine. That's a hedge for us. Man, when somebody leaves the church, you don't understand what they're leaving. They don't understand what they're breaking. They don't understand. Ready to strike. Because there's a protection of doctrine. There's a protection of accountability in the church. Man, I got Warren Dirks here on Sunday. You know what? He's expecting me to be here as another believer. He's expecting me to be here on Sunday. There are some people not here this morning. I texted them this afternoon. Missed you today. Everything okay? What's going on, preacher? Accountability. That's protection. That helps me. It helps you. It's what God designed. There's assembly. The church should preach messages and give instructions to help protect family and marriages. That's why we have a couples retreat. That's why we have a family conference. That's why we preach on the family. Why, preacher? Man, I want those things protected. I want those things guarded. I want those things preserved, if we could use that term tonight. Church should be a safe environment for children. Somebody steps out of the hedge of the church, I know that they become extremely vulnerable. Extremely vulnerable. Church should be a hedge against worldly entertainment. Not bringing the world into our church to entertain us. People ought to be able to come in and say, "Ooh, this is different. There's something spiritual here." Church. And there's the hedge of spiritual leadership. The hedge of spiritual leadership. The Bible says, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine." Paul's writing Timothy, "Continue in them, for in doing that thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." I'm seeing a flaw that is being repeated. And I want to talk to you about it tonight when it comes to spiritual leadership in the hedge. I'm seeing our young people grow up, and I think we're missing on getting them something that's very important. And that is building into their lives the habit of seeking counsel. Our young people get 16, 17 years old. I've told you this before. I told our young people and our parents for years. 17 to 27 years old, you'll make the 10 biggest decisions in all your life. Big decisions. Huge decisions. Have big time ramifications for a long time in your life. Timing of those decisions critical. Those decisions critical. And some, I watch those decisions be made and never a piece of counsel is sought anywhere that I know of. I'm going, multitude of counselors, there is safety, hedge. What's a hedge for our kids? Parents, can I give you a little insight tonight? They're not going to hear you 100% of the time. You know what they need in their lives? They need others that they will hear. That are reliable Christian testimonies, that are trustworthy, that they can bounce something off, that somebody will tell them and be honest with them and not hurt them, but say, "Hey, let me give you some things to think about. Let's look at the Word of God. Hey, have you thought about this?" That's a hedge! It's got to be trained. got to be put into their lives. And it doesn't start at 20 years old. You don't start talking to them about counselors at that point. And if you don't talk to them about counselors, they're going to go to their peers for counsel. Just trying to help us all tonight. All right? We need hedges, and there are hedges, but they are biblical authorities. They are what God uses, the home, the church, and spiritual leadership. God uses those hedges. Teach them. I'll tell you how it worked in our home. Kids are 11, 12, and 13, family devotions. Doesn't mean my kids get everything that I give in training, but I'll tell you this, I knew they were going to have counselors. They opened their Bibles one night. I said, tonight's an interesting night. We're going to study in the multitude of counselors their safety. So, I want you to write down in your Bible three people in our church that you respect, that love you, that you feel you could talk to them and seek counsel about something. Would you write those names down in your Bible? Would you start to build a cabinet of counselors? You don't need 10. You get too many people speaking in your ear and your brain's swirling. But you need counsel. And you're going to need counsel beside me and Mom. You're going to need counsel. I have two college students today. And they're making decisions. Right? That's what college students do. That's what 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds, and they do that. Isn't that what we want them to do? I won't be making their decisions for the rest of their lives. But you know what part of the process is? Seeking counsel before they make the decision. Brethren, I haven't done it all right, but I am telling you this. We better train our kids on that one. It is a hedge. It is something in Scripture where there's safety. Hedges can be broken. Years ago, a young lady I knew got married. Her parents were godly parents. They trained her in the right way. They had a number of good hedges in her life. Taught her to wait on God to provide the right kind of man for her someday. Her parents and pastor tried to reason with her. But the young man that she was considering was not a good person to consider. She knew better. She was encouraged to wait, get her education, wait for God to bring a Christian young man in her life that loved the Lord so that they could have a sweet, peaceful, godly marriage. But she got her heart tied into it. She got married to that young man. After less than 3 years of marriage, she called her mother crying one day and said, "I wish I would have listened. My husband just came home drunk and beat me with black and blue eyes I have as I'm speaking to you. Oh, that I wouldn't have broken the hedge. I now see what you were saying. Mom and Dad, you were right, but now it's too late." She broke the hedge. Teenager, tonight, I want to encourage you not to break the hedges. God's divine protection, the hedges of divine and biblical authorities in your life. Could I ask you, young person tonight, what hedge are you planning to break? Young people plan to break hedges. It doesn't just happen by accident. They premeditate it. When I get out of the house, I'm going to fill in the blank. What kind of relationship, young people, do you have with your authorities tonight? It's a very important question. It's one that I tell my kids to ask when they're considering somebody else of the opposite gender for a mate. What's their relationship to authority? Because if it's not good, you're in trouble. What's your relationship to your authorities tonight? What attitude do you have toward the hedges in your life? What attitude needs to change? There's the hedge of biblical authorities. Lastly, there's the hedge of thorns. There's the hedge of divine protection. We ought to pray for those. Parents, grandparents, we ought to pray for those in our family and in our children and in our nation and in our church. There's the hedges of biblical authorities. We ought to not break those hedges. And by all means, if you're in a position of authority tonight, you better take the responsibility seriously of setting up the hedges. But there's the hedge of thorns. Turn to Hosea chapter number 2. The need of the hedge. What is the need of this hedge, preacher? The book of Hosea is written in the context when God was really frustrated with Israel. It was like he had an unfaithful wife. So he asked the prophet Hosea to go out and marry a lady by the name of Gomer, who would be an unfaithful wife to Hosea. Consider Gomer for a moment. She was chosen purely because she was the guiltiest woman that Hosea knew. He picked her because of her reputation for sin. Unlovable, seemingly worthless. Think of Hosea, the righteous man among a nation of rebels, and God told him to choose a wife who would crush him. A wife he'd never fully trust. A wife whose heart would already be so damaged that it might not let him in. They named their three children. Jezreel, their first son, was named after a massacre. They had a daughter whose name meant not loved, and their final son's name basically meant not mine. But God is faithful. And God wanted to show Israel through the prophet Hosea and his life story that God's willing to redeem and fix the broken. And so the book of Hosea is written. You will look at with me chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now." He's speaking about Gomer. And he's saying, I'm going to put a hedge up of thorns around Gomer. What's that hedge for, preacher? That hedge was to be a wall of protection from wrong outside influences. In its context, she had lovers, according to verses 6 and 7. I'm going to put a hedge up so that the wrong influences do not have access to her. And she doesn't have access to them. I'm going to strip Gomer of the reasons why she went into the lifestyle that she's in order to bring her to a point to come to her senses and say, it was better before than it is now. You may have a wayward loved one here tonight. You may have somebody that you love that doesn't seem to have the discernment in life right now to make right choices. Brethren, that's real. That's real in our families. It's just real. Say, preacher, what do I do in that situation? I want to challenge you tonight to pray a hedge of thorns about them. Now, in order to pray a hedge of thorns, to pray for any hedge in your life, you have to first be saved. Number two, you have to be right with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But here, God put a hedge of thorns about Gomer to separate the wrong influences upon her life. Do you understand that somebody that lacks discernment is somebody that is a fool according to Proverbs? They are a simple person. They are easily led. People that are on the wrong path in life, like Gomer, are people that are being easily led by outside influences. What was God going to do to begin to work in Gomer's life? Put a hedge of thorns about her path. Now, that hedge was to separate her from those influences so that she could think and hear God's voice. Did not the prodigal come to the same point in Luke 16? He's eating with the pigs. Everybody's left him. I wonder if Daddy was praying. Because he got to be in want. And when he got to be in want, I think I'll arise and go home. I think it might be better at home than it is here. If you're here tonight and you have somebody that you care for and you don't know what to do for them, it just seems like, man, they're on a crash course with destruction. It just seems like they are hard-headed. It just seems like there is rebellion within them. It just seems like, man, they're running from God 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Preacher, what do I do? I'll tell you what you do. You pray a hedge of thorns. You say, by God's grace, God, I can't do anything, but God, You can do something. And God, You can put a hedge of thorns. You did it for Hosea and Gomer's life. God, I'm pleading that You will do it, not to make them miserable in the sense, but Lord, to bring them to the point that this isn't worth living like this. You ever felt out? You've run out of prayers for a prodigal? A wayward wife or husband? I have no idea what to pray anymore, preacher. I don't even know what to say to God. Can I tell you their need of a hedge? Gomer needed a hedge. Your child, your wife, your husband, the one that you love, the one that you're brokenhearted over, the one that, man, you spend too much time thinking about and you begin to get choked up. Tears begin to form. I can't think about that. I can't think about where they're going. No idea what to do. By all means, pray a hedge. A hedge of thorns. God, don't lose interest in my loved one. God, would You put up the hedge of thorns about them? Verse number 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold in chapter 2 of Hosea, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. What's the hedge of thorns? What's that path look like, preacher? God begins to remove the crutches that that person's leaning on, where everything seems to be going right in their lives. God begins to mess with all that. Preacher, that's me. No, it's not. If they come back to God, it's wonderful. Pray a hedge. Don't be afraid to pray a hedge of thorns. Maybe your spouse is seeking ungodly counsel from another family member or man friend or even a minister today. Minister's counsel to give up on marriages. By all means, pray a hedge of thorns. Maybe you have a child that's on the wrong path, being influenced by ungodly friends. Pray a hedge of thorns about their path. I would give you some things as I close on this hedge of thorns. I would recommend that you find another believer who will agree in prayer with you on that. Pull a friend aside, ask them to keep it confidential. But would you pray with me and agree with me daily? I'm praying a hedge of thorns about fill in the blank. Where two or three agree on anything, according to Matthew chapter 18, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I can't tell you how long to pray the hedge, but you should pray it until God says stop. If God's laying it on your heart tonight to pray that prayer, then you should pray it until God tells you to stop. While you're praying the hedge, and if it takes effect and it blocks ungodly purposes in the individual's life and cuts off the outside influences, it's very possible the individual will become angry and frustrated. That anger may be vented towards you. If you see that, it's probably evidence that God's beginning to put the hedge up. If you're praying a hedge of thorns, you've got to give God time to work as you pray. Samuel said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Well, preacher, I don't think prayer works. Wrong. Samuel said, man, if I don't pray for you, I'm going to sin. I don't intercede. Lovers in people's lives can include drugs, can include alcohol, can include immoral relationships. Listen, Gomer had lovers, plural. It's a good chance when somebody gets away from God that multiple lovers are developed. Need to pray. The hedge of thorns.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.